Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined each and every morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. 73 days till kickoff. Tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking. Get those questions in. We'll get to as many of those as we can. We also have a special guest today, new quarterback commit, Dia Bell. His head coach, Mike Smith, will be joining us about 9 o'clock, so here in about 50 minutes. So let's start with recruiting, guys. I mean, it's been the hot topic as of late, rightfully so. But some visitors on campus, all pretty much from now throughout the weekend. Jerry, take it away.
Yeah, so big weekend at the defensive back position, Bobby. Three official visitors on campus right now. That is Nathan Tillman, the safety from Mansfield Timberview, committed to SMU. He's already made visits to SMU, Utah, Baylor, and will be at TCU this weekend, or scheduled to be at TCU this weekend. Then you have Dorian Brew, the four-star corner out of Conroe High. Obviously, he's been talked about for a long time now. Father was a track star at LSU and Olympian. Mom was a track star at Ohio State and is in the Hall of Fame at Ohio State. He has visited LSU. He's visited USC. He's visited Oregon. Texas gets the midweek. Ohio State this weekend visit. I think there's been some reporting different ways that Texas wanted a midweek. That's not accurate. Texas wanted the weekend visit. That's what they went for multiple times. Now they're trying to see where things are at on this official visit. I think, look, anytime you get guys on campus, it's a positive, and you see where you go. And we'll see what happens with Dorian Brew. And then Dijon Lee, who's committing, making his announcement June 28th. I think this one's coming in more of a long shot, but this is why you bring guys on campus. A four-star corner out of Mission Hills in California. We're really seeing that Johnny Nansen pool, Bobby, in this class in the state of California. Sark and those guys have done good work in California, but the Johnny Nansen hire solidifies having a two-decade recruiter in California that's able to get more guys to campus than ever before on official visits from California, and more kids at a younger age. I think you're going to see two for unofficials. So Dijon Lee, look, everybody's in on him. Georgia, he goes to Bama this weekend. A&M, he visited A&M. He's visited all the schools. Texas gets the midweek, see if they can make up any ground there. But Texas, what Texas is doing, Bobby, they're giving themselves enough shots on goal here at corner to where I know there's been some Texas fans worried, but I think things are going to play out okay here at defensive back.
Yeah, and we talked about this yesterday, me and CJ did, where Texas needs five, Jerry, and we think it's going to be either two corners and two safeties and one kind of utility guy,
yeah,
where he's a nickel, or three corners, two safeties. However they figure out the five total that gets them the best players possible. All three of those guys, though, that you mentioned, Jerry, cornerbacks,
yeah,
except for two of the three cornerbacks in Dijon Lee and Dorian Brew, and then Nathan Tillman, a free safety type that runs 10-7, who the Longhorns got in on late. And you mentioned Dijon Lee. I want to mention a little bit about him because I did some research a little bit. He is an interesting player. He's out of Mission Viejo originally,
yep,
Jerry. What I'm being told right now is he wants to play in the Deep South.
Yep.
Georgia and Alabama are going neck and neck with him. Washington's had a visit with him. Texas and Texas A&M both are getting midweek visits. So this is sounding a little bit like a Georgia-Bama fight until now.
Yep.
And to your point, based on what I was told, Texas is very much involved. How much so, we'll have to find out after this official visit. I think that it's actually not outside the realm of possibility that he ends up at Texas. I'm just going to put it that way. I'm not saying it's a 25% chance he goes to Texas, but I don't think it's going to be some huge surprise because the Longhorns have been working on him a while. They were a little surprised, I'm told, when he didn't put them in their top four. So we'll see how that goes this coming week. But look, he's definitely headed out of state. Bama, Georgia, Texas, A&M, or Washington.
As you said, he has SEC eyes, Bobby. He has SEC eyes right now in recruiting.
Yeah, no doubt. There's no doubt about that. Dorian Brew's a little bit interesting to me because, to your point, Jerry, at one point we thought Texas may have a slight lead in gaining. Now what's going on exactly? We don't know for sure. He's not been the most public with his decisions and process, and that's okay.
That's
fine. It's each their own. You don't begrudge kids for doing what they want to do, and their parents. So we're watching that right now very closely. You mentioned it. He's got Ohio State this weekend, which is where he has family connections with his mom in the track Hall of Fame. There is our understanding. So a lot of stuff going on around campus as well. A couple of weeks away now, Jerry, 10 days away from the celebration entry into the SEC as well. So that's coming up. Very excited about that as well. Just a lot of things going on. 73 days away from the Longhorns suiting up and playing Colorado State.
Hey, Blake brought this up, but yeah, you can't. Wayne Gretzky said you can't score goals if you don't have shots on goal. 100% he can. And by the way, Connor David's a freak. If I know he Kim's a hockey guy, and hey, the great thing about Edmonton winning last night, you get one more home game in Edmonton, the best pro sports fan base I've ever seen. Absolutely, you got to take your shots on goal. Horn 7 said, and there's been a couple of questions about this. USC just had a big decommit. Isaiah Gibson out of South Georgia, Warner Robins, did decommit from USC, but that was coming. When you announce you're going to take five official visits and USC isn't one of them, you had a fun at the party out there, the commitment party, but that's all it was a commitment party out there. Now recruiting, it's real, and you're going to see USC lose three of these defensive players that aren't on the West Coast, I think. So that one's been coming. Somebody asked about Texas and Isaiah Gibson, not on our end. I think the edge prospects that Texas is after is Javion Hilson, who's currently committed to FSU, will visit FSU this weekend. Then you have Marco Jones, who will announce July 2nd, Texas, Michigan, considered top two before official visit this weekend, which could factor in with USC losing Isaiah Gibson. And then you have Smith Orogbo, who will commit July 1st. He's at OU this weekend. I know he has Washington in a Final Four. I'm not buying that one. But I know Washington did a good job on the visit. I think it'll be closer to home. So Texas Tech, Texas, Oklahoma. See what happens at OU this weekend.
Okay, guys, before we talk some more recruiting here in just a second, Bobby, first, can you tell folks out there about Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm?
Yeah, I sure can. Every Wednesday morning's Coffee and Football brought to you by our friend Adam Lowy at the Lowy Law Firm. He's been helping injured Texans for the past two decades. In the Austin area and around the state. Adam, if you've been involved in a truck wreck, car wreck, ATV accident, motorcycle, automobile, what have you, and you think you might be due some compensation, take Adam up on the idea of a free consultation. All you have to do is call him, talk to him, and they'll let you know what they think pretty much immediately about your case. That is LowyLawFirm.com, LowyLawFirm.com. Thanks again, Adam. For your support of Coffee and Football and On Texas Football.
A good question here, Blake. Has Bobby, have we got the 50K plaque from YouTube yet? No, but I heard that's because they're making a special little picture of Manscaped with it.
In all seriousness, YouTube doesn't give out any sort of award until 100K. So halfway there, actually a little more than halfway there.
Just put a picture of the handyman on it. We'll be good.
But it'll be.
Hey, we got to talk about Willie Mays talking about hands. I logged on early this morning. The guys were already talking about Willie Mays passing away. I got a text from a friend of mine yesterday, Jerry, a mutual friend of ours, actually. He said it was his favorite player growing up, by far, big Giants fan. Jack Lala there, thank you for the super chat as well. I think everybody remembers the over-the-shoulder catch or has seen the newsreel. I don't remember it. I wasn't alive in 1954 when it happened. But he made this over-the-shoulder catch in the World Series that is world famous. I would say that the thing that I remember about Willie Mays is that he was such an all-around player. And that's what I always look at. You'd look at the home run stats, and he had like 660 home runs. You'd look at the defensive stuff he did on video. Not a lot of people remember this or think about this, especially young people who haven't seen some of the great players over the years. But Willie Mays used to do basket catches on routine fly balls to the outfield. Blake, did you know that? he would catch the ball underneath his belt. He wouldn't reach up like this. He'd basket catch a ball. Yeah.
So they just don't see that nowadays.
Oh, different nowadays. Different nowadays, but something that not a lot of young people remember. But
I want to read two that would stand out to me. 24-time All-Star. 12-time Gold Glove winner. I mean, it's a lot.
24-time All-Star. That's
now he didn't. The crazy thing was, though, the crazy thing was he didn't actually play 24 seasons. Well, I guess he did technically, but the 24-time All-Star means he's essentially an All-Star every year.
Yeah, that's insane.
It's like being the employee of the year at your job for 24 years straight. You know what I mean? Is there anybody else that works there?
Yeah. I don't know. Can you imagine being a center fielder and hoping you made the All-Star team?
Yeah. You're pretty much – you don't have a chance if you're in the National League, basically.
You didn't get that $7 bonus in the 60s.
He also hit 4 home runs in one game.
Yes.
That's insane.
And he was also so great that Willie Mays Hayes had to was named after him in Major League.
One of my favorite movies, for sure. All right, guys. Well, we got more recruiting talk to go over. It's obviously, as you said a little bit ago, a big day for Texas, but it's also a big weekend, Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of visitors on campus this upcoming weekend. What's the latest there?
By the way, I like your hat, Blake. I wanted to let you know. You got your Shipley Ranches hat. Yeah, huge. I think we have the graphic there. Huge visit weekend coming up. Great job with the graphics by producer Matthew, who the best in the business. Huge visit weekend, right? I mean, you got the commitments. This is the midweeks, which we talked about. Dorian Brew, Dejon Lee, and Nathan Tillman coming in. Obviously, Tillman ran the 10-7 this season, so this spring, so which is big time for him as he continues that growth. Official visitors, you have KJ Lacy at quarterback, James Simon at running back, both committed. Jamie French and Khalik Lockett at wide receiver. Obviously, Amari Winston committed. Nick Townsend, huge official visit there for Texas with Nick Townsend. Michael Fasusi, huge official visit on the offensive line, coming in with 3 commitments. Jackson Christian, Jordan, and Devin Coleman. Isaiah Coleman will also be on campus this weekend. Zion Williams, D lineman out of Lufkin, LSU League, lean going in. DJ Sanders, more of a developmental prospect at D-line, but if he's a fourth type of guy, that's a good guy to develop. Elijah Barnes, linebacker commitment. Madden Foramo, considered a Notre Dame lean, but a bad dude. Brandon Hugh, I see you on here already. There he is, Madden Foramo, coming after you with his cast on. Then you have Cade Phillips, the defensive back out of Missouri City, which we've talked about before. Corey Raymond, LSU are selling corner. Texas is selling more DB. How does that factor into it? There's some people in the Texas corner there within the family circle. So we'll see you on Cade Phillips. I think he's a tremendous, tremendous prospect, nationally and underrated. Aiden Anning, big fan of Aiden Anning at Ruston. Talked with him 2 nights ago. The whole family's coming in. Mom, little brother, a couple other family members will be coming in from Ruston to Austin. Pretty good sign for the Horns, I would think. That's a Texas-Miami battle with Arkansas in it. Also visited TCU. Then Devin Williams, the corner, nickel out of Buford, Georgia, who's committed to Auburn, was on Auburn's campus last weekend for an official, still scheduled as of today to come into Texas. That's where Isaiah Bond played in high school. I think it's a long shot, but you take your shot. As Wayne Gretzky said, got to take your shots.
Michael Scott is the one that said Wayne Gretzky said that, by the way.
Oh, is he?
That's a Office reference. It's funny. No, it's funny because it's so true, right?
Yeah.
I think that's part of it. Hey, somebody asked here why we haven't mentioned Mike Brumley, the former infielder for the University of Texas that passed away over the weekend in a car accident. We actually did mention him on Monday, I believe, and talked a little bit about that. A teammate of Calvin Schiraldi, Roger Clemens, on the 83 national championship team. Then had, I think, played 6 seasons in the majors, and then became a longtime assistant coach in the major leagues as well. Unfortunate, and our thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family as well. That's Mike Brumley, passed away at the age of 61 over the weekend. Former Longhorn.
Yep, absolutely. And I wanted to mention on the recruiting front that I failed to mention that is if you think June's been fast paced, we'll wait for the first 2 weeks of July.
Oh, well, Jerry, you were just saying it earlier. I mean, look, Dijon Lee announces June 28th. Okay, well, Texas may or may not be heavily involved there. But then you turn around, you have Smith Rogbo June 1st or July 1st, then Marco Jones July 2nd. And then you don't know where half these guys that have already made decisions are going to announce. Yeah. I mean, it's getting ready to go get going.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, then you have Tunnock Hines and Nick Townsend that first week in July, maybe July 3rd, maybe a couple of days after. Zion Williams, July 4th. I mean, these things are going to hit the first 10, 12 days of July. I think a lot of guys will be committed by then. Because the one thing is, I spent a couple hours on the road yesterday. I'm not going to say where I was, but on this one, but because it was a discussion about just how, you know, the pressure's getting to these kids now. It's amped up. It's turned up. This is the official visit process. All these kids are coming off these official visits on these extreme visit highs. No matter if they go to the school or not, these schools know how to put on a visit. They know how to make these decisions tough. That's their job. If they're not making them tough, they're not good at what they do. So these kids are feeling the pressure. They want to get it over with. They want to get it behind them and enjoy their senior year. So I think you're going to see a rush of commitments in early July coming up from a lot of prospects Texas is in on, which means, look, there may be a couple of guys that don't end up going Texas way just because of the timing, you know, and then you see what happens playing the long game because there's NIL involved and one school may be way out in front of another one in that regard to make a push on a kid that maybe they don't think Texas is making as strong of a push on now or won't make as strong as a push on now. So there's so many things that are factoring into this, but I can tell you it's going to be a mad rush of commitments the first 2 weeks of July, because these kids are feeling the pressure of the process. And I think it's fun. It's always fun until the official visits start. Then these kids start feeling the pressure and the families start feeling the pressure and they get worn out, because as much fun as it is, and it's a once in a lifetime experience, you hear it routinely from kids and parents, especially parents. It's exhausting when you work all week. Then you go on these official visits. It's late nights. It's a lot of eating. It's fast paced. It's always on the move. You go through four or five of these in a month, it's a tiring process. And you're like, it's a great process. I'm glad my son and we've had a chance to go through it, but it's time to get finished with this process and move on.
It's tiring. There's no doubt about it. There are some rewards that you get for it, though, if you go to Texas, apparently. Blake, the University of Texas just tweeted this out. Steve Sarkisian with a well-timed tweet. Texas Football Post went out on top, and then look at these rings, Big 12 championship rings right here. Man, that's a hot-looking ring there, Jerry.
It is.
Ooh. It good-looking is. Good-looking stuff. There's Quinn Ewers right there.
Is Sark going to send one to your mark? You got to send one of those. You got an extra somewhere. Hey, Sark, take the one you're going to give me and send it to your mark.
I love it. Hey, Richard Walker says, I'm late drinking a cup of Folgers hungover and the dog is getting on my nerves. That sounds like a common thing. But I couldn't miss coffee and football. Richard, we appreciate you guys being here. Nate Russ also. With a super chat as well, coffee and football. We appreciate you guys. Hook them to everybody out there. Let's see how this goes this week with all these recruiting visits. 18 official visitors scheduled for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Three guys on campus right now. If you're just joining us, Jerry's went over those guys. Nathan Tillman, the safety out of Mansfield Timberview. Dijon Lee, cornerback out of Mission Viejo. And Dorian Brew, a cornerback out of Conroe as well. So 21 visitors overall throughout the entire week. Last weekend, of course, we had 16 visitors. Jerry, there's people out there asking you, how many highs does Texas still have? For those unaware, Jerry puts out a high when there's a silent commitment behind the scenes. Jerry, you just held up the number 4, you think? Is that what it is?
Yeah. I think so. Does that mean 4 for 4 go public? We'll see.
Yep.
Hey, let's talk a little ball. Let's lead off with this. Ekim, little team. Does Nyblack get more stats than Sanders last season? I think there's a tweet from PFF on Amari Nyblack as well, Blake.
I'm ready. As you can see here, PFF College, for those that are listening, it says, Amari Nyblack breakout season. And then they have a quote from Dalton Wasserman, who says, I think he's going to be the breakout tight end of college football in 2024. So that leads me to ask you guys, number one, do you agree with Dalton? And number two, what kind of season are you expecting from Amari Nyblack?
That does not surprise me at all. I don't know about you. I mean, look. He was on the cusp of being a difference maker for Alabama last year. That's, you know, 17 yards average per catch, I think it was, or average target downfield. That's almost unheard of for a tight end, especially for a team. You got to remember, I mean, Alabama is a run first team, Jerry. I mean, they play, even though he is a flex tight end, they played him in line a lot.
With a quarterback that will tuck it and run it before he gets through progressions.
Yes. And so I think he's poised to be that guy as long as he's working hard in the offseason, which we've heard nothing but that from him and Isaiah Bond, by the way. Not unusual for Alabama kids to come into Texas that were under Nick Saban and be ready to work. So that's been a positive. I'm waiting to hear, you know, I'm interested, Jerry, because we did not hear much about him other than his ability. Like, how are they incorporating him into the offense? You see what I'm saying, Jerry? That's the real question. How were they doing that? I think 2022 it was his freshman year. I think he was behind one or two tight ends that got drafted at Alabama. Then 23 became the starter. Clearly, almost 17 yards per catch. That's kind of unheard of for a tight end. So we'll see how it goes. I'm interested.
Look, 20 for 327 and four touchdowns. I could see him doubling those numbers this year.
I was going to say 35 to 45, right?
Isn't that what you want from him? Because, look, he's dangerous in the screen game, and then he's double dangerous vertically. So I think he's going to have the catches in the screen game, and then I think he's going to get a lot of yards vertically in big plays. I could see a 35 to 40 catch for 500-yard season pretty easily out of Nyblack. 6-7 touchdowns. Wouldn't shock me at all. I think he is gonna continue to unlock some things, as Rod talked about with Jatavion Sanders. I think he is extra, ultra valuable for Steve Sarkisian in maximizing this offense.
People are asking about his blocking ability. Do y'all have any insight when it comes to that?
I don't think that he's a block first tight end. We know that. He's not built that way. At the same time, he's not shy. Texas does not utilize, they don't utilize one way tight ends unless they go with their jumbo package with Malik Ogbo. And what I mean by that is even Gunnar Helm is just as good a receiver, probably grades out higher as a receiver than he does as an inline tight end, right? And so I think that what we have to think about here, at least in my from my vantage point, is they have to move him around. He's going to be a move guy, not necessarily an inline guy that you're waiting to see what he does. When they go two tights, just like last year when they did it, Gunnar Helm was going to be the guy that was the lead guy. Or actually the online guy, and Jatavion Sanders was the guy motioning in the backfield. That's going to be that should be how they use Amari Nyblack as well.
And Dwayne says, Sark's offense going to make it hard on the linebackers with the RPO. Do they play the run or cover Nyblack?
Probably going to cover Nyblack and play the run simultaneously. Is going to be their job. I don't know. I mean, look, we could get silly with what they can and can't do with Nyblack. Rod Babers has a good way of putting it. He thinks that's the position that nobody can have answers for, and that's why Jatavion Sanders was so key to Texas' success last year. A lot of big plays from Jatavion, frankly, because they had such threats on the outside and you had to worry about the inside run. So hopefully Sark continues to have a player like that in this offense that allows him to be a little different than everybody else and mix things up. I'm excited about this year from that standpoint, Jerry. With Worthy, Xavier Worthy was a fixture in Sark's offense, right? For 3 years. He really was. And we knew what we were getting. This will be the first turnover, in my opinion, of people. Like all new running backs from when Sark first got here. Now they've all been recruited by Sark, right? The previous ones were recruited by Herman. The quarterbacks recruited by Sark. All the receivers recruited by Sark. Yep. None of them were previous guys. Tight ends recruited by Sark. So it's going to be the first turnover of personnel, at least in the skill positions on offense. There's still some legacies on the offensive line with Hayden Connor and Jake Majors. But my point is, I think this is going to be the year that we see what Sark kind of envisions his offense at long term. Doesn't mean it's going to be the most well-performing offense, Jerry, but I think it's the one where we see what his vision necessarily is.
Totally agree. Hey, I wanted to bring this one up real quick, Blake.
Yep.
What would Quinn have to do this year to show he's a first-round draft pick and can lead a team of grown men in the NFL? Look, I think for me on that, it's just the continued growth. It's just continued maturity as a quarterback, quicker feet, moving from boom, 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 progressions, right? Reacting to the sudden movement changes, change of direction in front of him in his peripheral. I think that's it. One, I think red zone, right? Continuing to be to improve in the red zone. Look, he played really well. If you look at his stats from first quarter, second, third, fourth, his fourth quarter was his best quarter. Now, what do you do? What's the next step in that? I think that's red zone, right, Bobby? And so I think just continuing to move those feet quicker in the pocket, which the quicker your feet move, the quicker you're going through everything and your progressions, the quicker you're reacting to sudden change of movements in your peripheral. I think that's big for him. And look, I mean, you know, it's third year starting quarterback. I think those guys tend to make big strides in college football from year two to year three. If Quinn does that, plays really well in the games that matter, Michigan, Georgia, and that doesn't mean you have to put up big stats. You go 12 touchdowns, no interceptions. We're not talking about that. We're just talking about plays well in those games. I just think he'll be a first-round pick. Where in the first round? I don't know.
Well, Jerry, something that you do know about is Manscaped.
Oh, man, do I ever. I'm holding the handyman. I'm holding the handyman. I always have it. About to hit the road again this week. It's that time. But, look, guys, for those that are just coming in to Coffee and Football for the first time this week, it's Smooth Sack Summer. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to announce that Smooth Sack Summer is officially upon us. When you're playing in the summer sun, make sure you're groomed from pubes to bum. Thanks to our friends at Manscaped, you make the season your smoothest yet. The Performance Package 5.0 Ultra is the ultimate bundle to keep your boys downstairs cool while looking hot. Join the 10 million men plus worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Get 20% off plus free shipping when you go to manscaped.com and use code ONTEXAS, all caps, summertime, and the trimming is easy. And as I've been pointing out, now that you have the perfect haircut, use Manscaped's liquid formulations to keep that freshness even at the hottest summer barbecues. Introducing the Crop Soother. Aftershave lotion and crop preserver, anti-shaping ball deodorant. Once they touch your sack, you're never going back. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to the Performance Package 5.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. On Texas, all caps, manscaped.com.
You're truly a professional, Jerry Hamilton. I don't know what else to say. All right, guys, we got a couple more super chats that we need to knock out here. And let's switch gears to baseball for a minute. Juan, thank you for the super chat. He says, Blake and Bobby, any news on the baseball coach? What's going on with the Schloss rumors? So I actually texted the group, I guess it was last Friday, saying that there were some people that thought there may be some movement last Friday. So they were kind of shocked that there wasn't anything announced at all. I'm not saying like coaching hire, just, you know, any sort of announcement, I guess I should say. But it's pretty tight-lipped right now. Lips sealed, not a whole lot coming out. Bobby, I don't know if you've heard anything of note, but not a lot going on.
This is the question that we have, right? What does it mean? What does the silence from the athletic department actually mean? I do think that David Pierce is imperiled. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The question is, does the idea that Texas is not making a move prior to the end of the World Series mean that it's a coach in the World Series, thereby Jim Schlossnagel at Texas A&M? One of those. At this point, I do not think that that is the case. But never say never. There are other coaches in the College World Series right now that might be good fits at Texas. So I'm waiting to see what happens either over the weekend or into next week when we start seeing this the College World Series actually open. But for those wondering, I don't have any great insight into who it's going to be right now. I just don't. To your point, Blake, it's been pretty mum. It's been pretty quiet after that first rush of names that we were given of possibility. So anyways, that's where it's at right now.
Yeah, and Jerry's Jack Link says baseball is as tight-lipped as they are tight with the NIL wallet. Thank you for the super chat,
Jerry. Yeah, we'll see you in a few weeks.
All right, guys, we have another super chat here from Jack. And thank you once again, Jack. He says, Bobby, speaking of NIL, Bobby and Jerry, is there a pecking order to NIL money? I'm assuming that quarterbacks get the most.
You'd Bobby, be assuming accurately.
I'll let you go.
Yeah, you'd be assuming accurately. That is how it goes. It's I'm actually talking this week with Blake Lawrence. Blake is the CEO of Open Doors, which is the leading NIL purveyor in college athletics. They have deals with just about every collective out there, as well as every school out there that they actually do the back end for the school. So they write the contracts, they disperse and put the money in escrow, and then wait for the player to do his the job that he's been assigned, and then release the money to the player. So it's all up on the up and up with the NCAA. So that there's a track to it. Blake is going to join the show this week. And one of the things that he's starting to get into now, Jerry and Blake Monroe, is he is starting to get into NIL budgets. And one of the things I read yesterday is something insane, like 40% of the money in the NFL goes to quarterbacks, or 20% or 25%. I can't remember what it was. And well, that's different than what happens in college football. College football is much more dispersed at this time. Well, only one company really has access to all that hard data, and that's Open Doors. And they're starting something called Open Doors Budgets, which tells people this is where a wide receiver or a defensive back or a offensive line might slot financially, no different than what they do in the NFL. Now, the dollars are going to be different because they actually have real, hard, tangible proof of the amount of money being spent, right? And so he's got over 100 schools that he works with that he can compile data and put out operational budgets, essentially. So I want to have that conversation with him and try to break down, okay, the wide receivers get this much, the offensive line get this much, and I also want to talk to him about the future of NIL because I think he has some strong points about that would be interesting to everybody. But his name is Blake Lawrence. Look him up on Twitter. He's the CEO of Open Doors. Check him out.
And we have a couple more super chats to knock out, guys. Robert Muhammad Thank you, Robert, for the super chat. He says, what wide receivers and defensive backs do you guys like for the Texas 2025 class? Loaded question there.
Yeah, so at wide receiver, I think if Texas has a – if Texas – they may sign three or four. We'll see which way that goes. It's a possibility either way. But I think if Texas got three of DeCorian Moore, who obviously is your must-get recruit in this class, visiting Oregon this weekend, DeCorian Moore, Jamie French, Kalik Lockett, Kelshon Johnson, Tuno Kynes, those five are kind of at the top for me personally. If you got three of those guys, I think, yeah, I mean, you're cooking with gas, right? I mean, that's – tremendous. Defensive back, I'm a big Caleb Chester fan. You guys that saw him on the show breaking down film with Rod Babers know why I like him so much. When I went down and spoke with him, did that interview, you can archive that on Texas Football, when he kind of talked with me for about 10, 11 minutes about football recruiting and everything coming up in football. I like Caleb Chester. I think he is a solid prospect at corner. I'm a big Cade Phillips fan as well. I know Bobby is as well, 6'2", 180, that 80-inch wingspan, those 10-inch hands, long jump 24-7 twice, qualified for state in the 200 meters, isn't even close frame-wise to where he's going to go, plays wide receiver, has ball skills. I really like Cade Phillips. I really like Aiden Anning as well. I'm a big Aiden Anning fan. I think at corner, nickel, wherever. I'm a big Aiden Anning fan, a really good basketball player too. If you haven't watched his huddle, that dude can shoot the rock. And I just think he is a great evaluation by Texas. That'll be Texas battling Miami with Arkansas, TCU, the other two visits. He'll be in town with most of his family this weekend. I like Aiden Anning as well. Nathan Tillman's, he's an intriguing guy to me, Bobby, because when I was at Mansfield Timberview last season to see Dylan Battle, I asked coaches, who's the up and coming guy, who's really coming on for y'all, and both answers were Nathan Tillman at safety, and SMU did a good job evaluating him early, got him in the boat. Then he ran 10.7 at 185 pounds this spring, which we like that, and I think he's a true safety doing that as well. If you watch his turn and close from middle of the field to boundary, that's he's playing that like a real safety. That's not just an athlete that can really run playing safety. I like his upside. Obviously, he visited Utah. Utah has a pretty good track record of evaluating defensive players in Texas, by the way, if you look at the history there. Also visited Baylor, visits TCU this weekend, or scheduled to. So I like where Texas is at headed into this official visit in terms of working for a flip. We'll see what happens. And then you have a number of other guys at defensive back. Tristan Castro, see what happens at USC this weekend. They're going to lose those out-of-state D-line commits, in my opinion. One, Isaiah Gibson's already gone, so a little bit off the bloom of that rose coming down the home stretch as you get closer to July decisions. We'll see what happens with DeJean Lee. You have Dorian Brew. Texas has enough shots on goal here they've created. Devin Williams coming in this weekend. So I think they're going to come away with four quality defensive backs. And I say this, and I know we talked about earlier, five in the class potentially. Last year, Texas went into the season with two DB commitments, Santana Wilson, Jordan Johnson, Rubel, both really good football players, four-star prospects. Then they flip Xavier Filsomi, flip Wardell Mack, get Kobe Blacker there leading for the whole time. So we'll see how it plays out this year. I think they may have a couple more guys committed early and maybe go after one big-time guy late.
Hey, Jerry, let's get this while we're talking about DBs. Let's get this question in there from Mike Gosnell. Do you view Jamie French as a potential day one NFL draft pick, or is he more of a project? Jerry, you went down to Jacksonville to see French work out in person. Your view on this is as good as anybody's, in my opinion. What are your thoughts on Jamie French long term as a potential guy? And who would be your perhaps comparison for folks unaware of what you said previously?
Yeah, definitely not a project. I mean, he is a whether you have him ranked five-star, high four-star, depending on where you're at. I mean, he's a borderline that level prospect to me. Great frame, very, very similar to A.D. Mitchell. I mean, see, he was 6 foot and a half, 6'1", about 165 pounds a year and a half ago. He's now 6'2", 180, right? So 6'2", 180, he's got the long arms, he's got the big hands, got great body control, does a good job tracking the football. He's got a lot of the same stuff that A.D. Mitchell had. If you go back and watch A.D. Mitchell's high school huddle, which a lot of times is a fun way to kind of go through this process, go watch Jamie French, then go pull A.D. Mitchell, senior year huddle at, where was he in Tennessee, Bobby, at Ridge, what was that, whatever the high school, he was at Ridge Point, then he moved up to Tennessee his senior year. But go find his senior huddle, watch him back to back. I think Jamie French may have a little more initial acceleration after the catch, maybe a little better after the catch in terms of the wiggle than A.D. Mitchell. And I'm not saying Jamie French is going to run 4.35 at the combine, because nobody thought A.D. Mitchell was when these guys start training the run of 40. I think that's his upside. I think he can be that level player.
Good stuff. Good stuff for sure. Okay, guys. I think that's all the super chats. I just wanted to make sure. So since that is the case, I need to tell folks out there about Factor. And warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and even Keto. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. Make today the day that you kickstart a new healthy routine. And what are you waiting for? With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. You can absolutely crush those wellness goals this June with dietitian approved meals and ingredients that you can trust. So treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients from breakfast to dessert. Stay fueled with easy, nutritious options. Make your day delicious with the help from the great folks at Factor. And here's the best part, guys. Factor meals are ready in 2 minutes. 2 minutes exactly. There's no shopping, no prepping, no cooking, no cleaning up. Bobby and Jerry both can attest to it. Super easy. It tastes great. You need to try it if you haven't already. So head on over to factormeals.com/Texas50. Use promo code Texas50. They're going to give you 50% off your first box plus 20% off next month. That's code Texas50 at factormeals.com/Texas50 to get that 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. And we want to thank them for sponsoring right here on Texas Football.
Hey, Blake, couple things. I want to kind of reset show. Mike Smith, head coach at American Heritage, head coach at Diabel, scheduled to join us here in the next few minutes to talk about Diabel. By the way, he had one of the fastest 4x100 teams in the country, all and all the young receivers down there. But Coach Mike Smith from American Heritage scheduled to join us here in the next few minutes to talk about Diabel and his commitment to Texas. So we'll let you guys know. And then we have a bunch of questions on recruiting. I'm going to do a little recruiting speed dating after that interview with Coach Smith. We may be able to get to some of those beforehand. But I know we want to bring this up, Blake.
Go ahead.
Scottie Scheffler headed to the Olympics, USA Golf. Take that aim. There you go. Scottie Scheffler, Paris bound for the Olympics. We wish Scottie all the luck there. I'm not sure he needs luck at this point, but we wish him the best in his quest to bring a gold medal home.
Very cool.
And I'm guessing, look, Texas has had a lot of Olympians, and they've won a lot of medals. But with golf being newer to the Olympics, this is an opportunity.
What tells you that Scottie Scheffler needs any luck in the game of golf?
Yeah, I wasn't talking about golf.
Goodness gracious. Well, it's good. Hey, look, I think Blake and I were talking about it a little bit yesterday, too. Just the number of Olympians that are University of Texas tied right now continues to climb. Should be interesting to see what the total number ends up with at the end of the day, Jerry. Hey, Jerry, I had a couple of questions for you. I know you wanted to get into doing some speed dating type stuff, but this one's from Live Rent Free in UT. John Mills got to be on commitment watch, right? That's the young offensive lineman out of San Francisco that Texas had in for an official visit over the weekend. You think that is accurate, that he's on commitment watch?
Yeah, I do. I think he'll make a decision. They have a family vacation coming up, so that decision could be soon, or it could wait a couple, 3 weeks. So I do think so. I know there's been some chatter about Florida being in it. I'm not buying that. It's going to be Texas or Washington. That's where it's been the whole time. So not that he didn't like his visit to Florida, but that's not going to be the pick, despite what some people have said they're in it. Now it's Texas or Washington. is where the decision is expected to come from. And Texas had a lead for a while. I think as long as he continues to say he wants to play football in the South, I like Texas chances.
Hey, we've also had quite a few people join us since we first started the show. And Jerry, I know you talked about it at the beginning, but Isaiah Gibson, USC situation, decommits from there. But people are wanting to know if Texas is going after him. Can you fill them in real quick?
Yeah, no, Texas offered him early in the spring, but they've had no traction with him. Not going to happen. I think he'll be staying in the SEC closer to home. Is my bet long-term with Isaiah Gibson. When he came out with five official visits and none of them were USC, I mean, you know, that writing was on the wall. We'll see if then they can keep I think USC is going to have a tough time keeping Justice Terry as well, the other defensive lineman out of Georgia. Kirby ain't letting all those guys go to USC. I'll just say that. All right, Joe Smooth has a good one here. Jerry, do you see Marco Jones as the third linebacker take with Barnes and Pettis on? And still take a rope. I think Marco Jones is an edge all the way. He's a bigger frame guy than you think. And when you see him in person, CJ and I saw him in person last weekend at Bergstrom Airport on Friday and Sunday. Marco Jones is legit 6'4", 6'4 and change, 225, 230. He's headed the 255, 260-pound land. I mean, there's no doubt that he's – I mean, his dad's big. His dad has one play left, but he'd hit you hard. His dad played at Northwestern in Colorado. Marco Jones, big frame guy, has some thickness to that frame. He is going to be an edge all the way. I think your edge is going to come down to Javian Hilson, who's currently committed to FSU, scheduled to be there this weekend, out of Coco, who had a great visit to Texas. And mom told me after the visit, I think she just wants him out of the state of Florida. I think she wants him to do something different. So we'll be interested. Maybe that's why he committed to Alabama initially. Then Nick retired. Then he flipped FSU. Maybe there was something to that. Let's see how it plays out after FSU this weekend. But then you have Marco Jones. Then you have Smith Orogbo. I really think your edge is going to come to go with Lance Jackson is going to come from that group. I think your linebackers is going to – you have Barnes committed, who's, I think, a top 100 kid in the country. Then you have Pettijohn, who's visiting A&M this weekend. Then you have Madden Faramo, Brandon Huey's favorite. If Madden Faramo – was standing at the end of Bevo Boulevard, Brandon Huey would run 4-4 down there to get a picture with him. That's how fat much Brandon Huey likes Madden Faramo. And then Jonathan Cunningham, who we spoke with on Monday, who I think if Texas makes a push there, they can win out. So I think that's kind of where your linebackers are going to come from and where your edges are going to come from in this class as of today.
All right, guys. Well, as we wait for our special guest, Coach Mike Smith, the Bills head coach, we're going to do a couple more questions here before he gets in. And Stephen Houston says, with Texas having so much money, allegedly, in football, why isn't that also the case in baseball, allegedly? Shouldn't UT money be UT money in all sports?
Well, football rules a roost in Austin, Texas. I mean, you can try to make Texas another, and look, it's great when Texas plays well in other sports and all that other stuff, but football's the one that fills the stadium to 100,000 people and has largely a lot of people talking every morning, even in the off season, like this show, right? I mean, football is the leader of the pack, and so comparing the two is not necessarily fair. I will say this, there's no allegedly to Texas having money in NIL as it relates to football. And they actually also have quite a bit of money in NIL and baseball. The difference at the outset of this is how David Pierce decided to utilize NIL money in the situation. He wanted to make everybody whole on their scholarship because I think, 11.4 or 13.4 scholarships available to baseball players, Blake, yet he wanted to carry a roster of 25 or 30, right? And so he wanted to make all of those guys whole so they didn't have to pay a dime for school. I think that's noble. I think that's a noble desire by your head coach, but I think that really eats into your funds for trying to get elite players. Paul Skeens, the guy that went to LSU, was not going to go for just a full scholarship, right? And so he went to LSU. He came down to Texas and LSU. Well, he went to LSU. Texas tried to put their hat in the ring there. And they didn't have enough funds because they were using a lot of the funds for every single player on the roster to make whole. So if there is a new coach, I would look for perhaps a new way of doing things in that regard, and that might free up more funds. The other thing I would say is there's no allegedly. So Texas is doing extraordinarily well and has a lot of buy-off from people across the cross-section of Texas football in participating in NIL, from very small donors to very large ones. And I think that one of the great things about what's happening right now at Texas is a lot of people are pulling in the same direction, whether it's young people or old people. They're all trying to pull in the same direction, bring Texas football to where it wants to be, and many people believe where it deserves to be. So that's what's happening right now in NIL, in my opinion.
All right, guys, this next question here.
By the way, I wanted to say, update, Coach Smith from American Heritage just texted me. He's on his way. He's off, coming off the field right now. He's going to be joining us in a couple of minutes to talk about DFL.
There you go. So maybe we can use this question to segue into him entering the room here. And King Me says, is Texas the new quarterback you? And how important is a deep quarterback room in the expanded playoff era?
I think it's extremely important, but I think the key there is the days of having four scholarship quarterbacks are pretty much over. I mean, long-term, I just think there's too much NIL opportunity for quarterbacks who have a chance to go start somewhere. So I think the hard thing is, Bobby, it's very important, obviously, but it's going to be hard to have more than three on scholarship over a two-year period of time. I think that's the challenge for coaches now, which puts more pressure on hitting on quarterback evaluations, which is always difficult.
I think you can have four if you spread them out. The idea of taking two quarterbacks in a year has definitely gone by the wayside, in my opinion, Jerry. That's coaches may feign interest over that, but given the ability of a school to go out to the portal and take a quarterback now, Jerry, there's no reason to take two, right? There's absolutely no reason to take two in a single year because you should just wait for the portal to open.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my point. Now, how important is that position heading into the expanded playoffs? Well, look, how important was it to Florida State last year?
Yep.
They didn't even get into playoffs with a perfect record, because they lost the straw that stirred the drink for them Leary kid. So I feel like it's extraordinarily important to have a quality backup that has played games, even not just put himself out there, but actually played some games and performed reasonably well. So I'm a big factor on that.
So going back to the first part of that question, is Texas the new quarterback you?
I think it can be. I think Lincoln Riley at USC is like tailor-made, right? That's what he does with Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, now Caleb Williams, all being 1-1s.
Yeah.
And that's going to be pretty hard to beat. That being said, how much, you know, my take on it will be, you know, what's at some point, Lincoln Riley has to get over the hump.
Yeah.
Right. As far as a coach. And that's the question that I think many people rightfully have, and whether or not that can be. I think that Texas certainly is in that category. Look, I mean, Ohio State has had a number of guys. I think there's three or four programs right now that would be a cut above. Texas is one of them. USC is one of them, in my opinion. I think Ohio State has been. And I think Georgia might be moving in that direction. So we'll see.
All right, guys. And then our next question here from Horn 7. Any comments on which players are stepping up this summer?
We've had a few of those comments. Jerry and I both have heard some different type of things. the one that we're watching, and I got to say this because it's an open position, and that's cornerback. And so we're watching Javion Cole and Gavin Holmes. To be really frank, Cole, the newcomer from San Jose State, Holmes, a second-year player out of Wake Forest. And the reason why we're watching that so closely is Terrence Brooks ended the regular season and spring ball as the starter at one of the corner spots. Now, he did not have a good spring ball. He did not play well in the spring game. We've heard positive things about Javion Cole at this point, very positive things. Is it enough to unseat a Gavin Holmes who has a year on him right now? And I don't know the answer to that. I really don't. And so that's one of the ones that we're watching and have heard some good things on. I've also heard really, really positive comments on Jermaine Lole, the defensive lineman that Texas got from Louisville. He is 2 years now away from his latest injury, which is the longest injury-free time he's had in 3 years, I think. So, and he was okay productive at Louisville last year. We'll see if he keeps going, but that's another one that I'm watching and waiting to see exactly what he looks like long-term. Beyond that, Andrew Makuba continues to be a guy that gets mentioned as a consistent player in the defensive backfield. We'll see how all this goes, but not a lot of team news coming out right this minute. They're now 2 weeks into two full weeks into their restarting of workouts. I'll try to have some more for you guys tomorrow or Friday whenever I get a chance to check in with some folks.
All right. And as
I'm going to step out for a second and we're going to get Coach in here. Okay.
Sounds good. Bobby, I'll tell
Jerry
you what.
Jerry has to do some hard work there with Coach to get him in. Some coaches got to be technology guys, right? So that's what's going on there. I need to tell folks while we have this chance with Jerry out, tell them about Adam Lowy, the Lowy Law Firm. If you've been injured in a truck wreck, car wreck, automobile, or ATV accident, and think you might be due some sort of compensation or want to talk to somebody about it, make sure you reach out to the guys at LowyLawFirm.com. That's LowyLawFirm.com. Adam Lowy and his group have more than 20 years of experience in Central Texas, as well as across the state of Texas. Again, LowyLawFirm.com. That's Adam Lowy, a friend of ours here at Coffee and Football. Thanks for Adam for him doing that. So, hey, Blake, there's some other questions we can get to while we're waiting on Jerry, I think, right now. You want to do that?
Definitely. Let's take this one from Jacob, Bobby. Jacob says, I keep hearing must get. What do you mean by that? What are the second and third order effects if we don't get a must get?
Must get means a priority, a high, high priority for a team of any sort. And so that could be a defensive tackle and a team in a position of need, a wide receiver, a quarterback. They are high, high priorities. And if you don't get that one, what's been interesting about Texas and Steve Sarkisian is he doesn't necessarily come off of those guys and go down to a second tier or a second rung of players. He either stays after those guys or finds another guy that he thinks is just as good. But somebody has not been paying as much attention to them because they're committed elsewhere or something like that. So must get means what it means. Must get. He's a priority at a position of priority for the University of Texas. All right. I think we have now Mike Smith, head coach, American Heritage High School. Dia Bells, head coach, the quarterback that recently committed to Texas just about 48 hours ago. Coach, welcome to the show, bud.
How's it going?
Good, good. How are you doing today?
Pretty good, pretty good.
You just got off the practice field. How did Dia look this morning?
It wasn't Dia. I had, I've got a group of pro guys that I train in the morning. So we had them out there this morning, and then, we'll move into those guys later on in the afternoon.
Coach Smith, by the way, thanks for the time when I came through in May and over the years, you guys at American Heritage. No talent at all has come out of American Heritage, Texas fans. I mean, just about, I don't know, 15 NFL guys. What are your early memories of Dia? Because I believe you had him on varsity as an eighth grader, which is rare. Then he was a backup as a freshman. Then he moved into the starting role this year. What kind of your early memories of Dia the first time you saw him, and how have you seen him develop?
I've actually had Dia before that. He came to American Heritage in sixth grade, I believe. So at the time, I was the strength and conditioning coach. So I've been training Dia since he was in sixth grade. And you can see early on that you know, he was a special kid. You know, he came up in a, you know, obviously a professional athlete. You know, his dad being an NBA player, came up in that type of environment. So the thing that stuck out to me really early on with Dia was just, you know, just his preparation and his approach to that preparation. And, you know, it's one of them things you knew he was going to be special because of that.
What did kind of talk about? I think he's got what we kind of talk about with athletic instincts, right? Really good basketball player. And he kind of, to me, and you can tell me if I'm wrong or right, he seems like he's got a little moxie to him at the quarterback position. Am I on the right track there with that? I think, you know, good basketball player, obviously growing up basketball, transitioned to full-time football quarterback. But those athletic instincts, he's got a little moxie to him. He kind of checks the boxes off the field as well.
Well, you know, you hit it right on the head with the, you know, that's the thing. And I'm big on multi-sport athletes because I think it carries over to all the sports. And you can see he, especially on the basketball court, he's just got that swag to him on the basketball court. But yeah, it absolutely carries over to the football field. And once again, it goes back to what I was talking about is that is just his preparation. You know, he prepares like a professional athlete, you know, from his regular training to his quarterback training to what he does, you know, in the building here. You know, he just has that, he's got that something special to him just in just because of the way he prepares every day. And he really is about his business. And that's the thing that, like I said, from an early age, really, really impressed me about him is that it was just, you know, he sticks to his schedule and he trusts his training and then it all comes out on game day, whether it be on the basketball court or on the football field.
And what,
Coach, I got to ask you, Coach.
Yeah.
What do you think is his top strength as a quarterback?
I mean, from a physical standpoint, obviously he's got. I mean, he's got really impressive arm talent. But you know, those intangibles that we just talked about, I think is a big thing with him. You know, he sees it. And I think this is a lot of the basketball playing into it is that he sees the field really well. I mean, he doesn't get rattled. I mean, he's a kid that it's funny because he's a kid, you know, he's got a middle brother that is really, he's the spark plug and he's the pit bull, but Dia is very here with it. All right. He's, you know, if it's going good, he's right here. If it's going bad, it's right there. And I think you need that as a quarterback, you know, just because you got to keep moving next play, that next play mentality, whether it's, you know, good or bad, you know, it's just staying level, all right, staying in the moment, and Dia does a really good job of that.
One of the things that impressed me, Coach, was that he makes plays with his feet to keep plays alive to throw the ball, not necessarily run the football. Obviously that fits very well with what Steve Sarkisian recruits. In your conversations with Texas, kind of what did they talk to you about in regards to Dia?
I mean, that's a big, you know, I think that's something that a lot of people overlook in his game. Long story short on that, I mean, this was a kid, like I said, when I first started training him, he could run. And then he grew 4 or 5 inches in that next year. And then it was like, oh my God, he's got to get coordinated again, stuff like that. But he is smooth now. He can run. He's got some good speed. I think a lot of that, once again, is attributed to being on the basketball court and working those twitchy movements. But I think that's a part of him that a lot of people overlook. So, you know, he's got the arm talent, but his ability to get in and out of bad situations with his legs, I think that's something that Texas really, you know, liked about him. And obviously, you know, his, like I said, his ability to push that ball down the field. So I mean, they I know Coach O'Brien was here a couple of times, and he was really impressed with, you know, his poise and his ability to, like I said, be athletic, but at the same time push the ball down the field.
Hey, Coach, I had a question for you. Actually, one of our fans did. Yeah. Coach, did y'all have to convince Dia to play football over basketball?
I tell you, you probably want to ask his dad that question. his dad is our head basketball coach. And I think Dia told me, and I had this conversation with his dad. Dia told him, I think it was maybe eighth grade, he's like, you know what, Dad, I think that I want to concentrate on football. And his dad came to me, he's like, man, that broke my heart. But he's like, I can't, you know. So I didn't have to convince him. You know, I think it was more the other way around. His dad had to convince him, not really convince him, but he had to tell him, like, no, you're still playing basketball. But he chose football probably around the eighth grade and said, no, this is what I'm going to do. So as of right now, it looks like he's made the right choice. So,
Coach, one thing that Dia will not have to adjust to is throwing the speed at wide receiver, because you may have as much of it as anybody in the country, and they're all young kids. So for the Texas fans, they'll be tuning in, watching American Heritage. Y'all have TV games following Dia. Talk about that 4x100 team, and a couple of those guys are the top 2026 wide receivers for you.
Listen, I've been here a long time. I've been full time since 2013. I've actually been at the school, as a trainer since 2008. And we've been blessed. We had, we had Anthony Swartz here years ago with Pat Surtain and Marco Wilson and Tyson Campbell. And that 4x1 team was a 40-point team. And then, we were blessed this year to have, Brandon Bennett, Braylon Bennett, Zamari Sanders, Xavier Lucas. They went 39, 34, 39, 39, something like that. But it's unbelievable. And that was one of the things when – early on, when Dia was a freshman, we had a senior quarterback that I said, I'm going with Dia as my quarterback of the future, even though at the time we were still waiting for him to kind of develop his, his body and all that. But to pair these 2026 receivers together with one of the top 2026 quarterbacks in the country, it was a no-brainer. And we had a 7-on-7 on Sunday at the University of Miami, and we were explosive. And we're just really scratching the surface, because I didn't really even have half of those kids most of the spring, because our track state championship was May 18th. We started spring practice May 1st. So I didn't even have half those kids. So we're really just scratching the surface on how good we can be, in the passing game.
Coach, I had a question for you as it relates to Steve Sarkisian and AJ Milley. How was your interaction with those guys, and what did they maybe do that was somewhat different or that connected with Dia differently than other coaches, in your opinion?
I'm not sure what they did differently. I know Dia, especially with Coach Sarkisian, he just sees the track record. It's take all the other stuff out of it, all that stuff that goes on nowadays with, how you get these kids, but you know what I'm saying, but it was just a track record. And I think the comfort level that Dia had on campus there, he was there a couple times. But, at the end of the day, I asked him, I said, well, what was the deciding factor? And he's like, man, Coach Sarkisian, he develops quarterbacks and he puts the guys in the league. So, and that goes along with what Dia's long-term plan is. And like I said in the beginning, he's very about his business, and he's got goals. He's very goal-oriented. And I think he was looking for a place that was going to help develop him and push him to be an elite quarterback at the next level as well.
All right, Coach, I know you got to get back to the field, so I really appreciate the time. Okay, for those who know, Coach is a busy man. Not only is he the American Heritage head football coach, does a great job there. As he said, he trains a bunch of pro athletes in the when they're home after the season, in between OTAs and all that stuff. So, Coach, thank you very much for the time. I know you got a busy schedule, and I look forward to seeing you guys this season.
I appreciate it, fellas.
Hey, Coach, hook him.
He had to do it.
I had to grab it. Thanks to Coach Mike Smith, American Heritage High School head football coach there, and the coach of the newest commitment to the Texas Longhorns, 2026 cornerback or quarterback, Dia Bell, son of an NBA basketball star, Raja Bell.
You know, Bobby, what hit home about that, and I think we've gotten what I can't wait to have a conversation with Coach Smith when I go back down there during the season about this, but what he said rings so true to me. He's a guy who helps train professional athletes right in the offseason. But what did he talk about being a two-sport athlete? I think with this individualized training we're into nowadays with young athletes, it's still so important. I've always thought a basketball-football component is so key for football players because your feet have to move quick, your body has to react quick, and your mind has to react quick in basketball with peripheral vision all over the place at all times. Basketball is invaluable for football guys. I've always believed that, Bobby, and I know you've gone to basketball gyms and were convinced back when you were doing rankings on guys as much in basketball as you were in football.
I remember watching Tony Brackens.
Yep.
I mean, I never saw Tony Brackens play in person in football. Okay. I'd heard about him, but I'd never actually seen him play in football. And I saw some video on him. I went and watched him in a basketball game. Okay. And he put his elbow at the rim.
Yeah. And he's 6'3".
This is a defensive end.
Yeah.
Okay. And he covered the court in about 2.5 seconds, you know, two long strides, and he's just one of those guys, right? And so you're like, gee, I think he translates. The other thing I would say about multiple sports, Jerry, that I like beyond the footwork, because football is a game played primarily with your feet. I mean, a lot of feet and strength and balance, et cetera. But the thing I like about multi-sport athletes, and this includes track in there, is that those sports can be very exacting at a higher level. And so it means you have to be coachable. These guys going out there running 39.5 or whatever those, that means they're coachable. It's not just that they're fast, right? There's a lot of little nuances that allow you to run that fast. And either you can do it or you can't. And I look at a guy like Xavier Worthy. He's track fast, right? Well, he was also track fast in high school, and he took all of those little things. And now, I mean, look, he's a great route runner. He was a great route runner at Texas. That those sorts of things can translate because you're coachable and you're willing to do the same hard things over and over and over to get better. So I agree with you about basketball. I think track's part of it too because it's more mundane. Like basketball can be fun. Track is just a monotony sport. You know, over and over and over.
W.A. Jones, totally agree with this. So, K.J. Lacy and Dia Bell, point guards. You know who else was a quarterback? Allen Iverson. I mean, so look, it's the point guard guys, I think, really as quarterback prospects, there's a translation there with some of those guys, especially that play point guard maybe their whole way growing up. Because it's like Coach Smith said, those guys see the court. They have to see the court. They have to see things in basketball move so fast around them and make decisions. I mean, look, I don't know if TJ Ford could throw a football. Maybe we should get him on a live feed and see if he can sometime. But I guarantee you, TJ would have processed fast, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to do the super chat here. Then we got to get out of here. Archmania, thank you for the big super chat. We just can't say thank you enough for that. He says, OTF just crushes the content game. Thanks for all you guys do. We love you. Well, thank you for your support. And everybody out there, thank you for your support.
Thank you so much, Archmania. Appreciate it very much.
And by the way, if we didn't get to your questions, a lot going on, Longhorn live stream tonight. We'll get to those questions tonight. I've got some starred questions. I'm going to write them down. We'll get back to those as much as we can. So thank you guys again for your continued support of On Texas Football as we continue to march on.
Yep. And we may have some recruiting updates during the day today because of the three players that are on campus. Just to wrap up, make sure you check out onTexasFootball.com for those. Just as a reminder, defensive backs, Dorian Brew out of Conroe, Nathan Tillman out of Mansfield Timberview, and Dijon Lee, a cornerback out of Mission Viejo, California, all on campus right now for official visits to the Longhorns. Brew and Tillman thought to be really in it for Texas. Lee is a little bit more of a wild card, but Texas is going to try their best there.
That's right. And if you haven't already, be sure to sign up using promo code OTFOG over at ontexasfootball.com. $39.95 for 1 year. You can't beat that deal at all. And then also, if you would hit that like and subscribe button, we would definitely appreciate that. Ring the bell so you're notified anytime that we go live or post a video. But remember, we can't be on here 24/7, so be sure to head on over to ontexasfootball.com as well. And for Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Welcome.